Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host, and we did it again. Another fantastic Friday program for you. Second hour, Jimmy Akin's going to be here. And when Jimmy is here on a Friday, you know what that means. Weird questions. We collect them if you send us weird questions. And we don't ever mean the word weird in a derogatory or put-downy kind of way. We just enjoy weird questions. And if we get them via email or Facebook or YouTube or by snail mail, which we open very carefully, by the way, then we collect those up. And when we have enough of them, we invite Jimmy in and we tackle all the weirdest questions we've gotten usually over about the last month or so. So we'll do that the second hour. This hour, well, as Holy Week approaches, there are many, many, many things that happen on Holy Week. But among them, in general, one will be the gathering of family. That may happen on Good Friday. It might well happen on Easter or throughout Easter weekend. And when we gather with family, well, it's time to think a little bit about peace in the family. Not always the easiest thing to achieve, even as we commemorate the death and resurrection of the Lord. So we have with us today the perfect man to talk about peace in the family, Dr. Ray Guarendi. Dr. Ray is well known. I'm sure you know Dr. Ray. His radio show, The Doctor Is In, can be heard weekdays on stations across the United States and on EWTN around the entire planet Earth. His books include You're a Better Parent Than You Think. That one has an exclamation point at the end, so that's a very serious book. Discipline That Lasts a Lifetime, most recently, Thinking Like Jesus, The Psychology of a Faithful Disciple. Dr. Ray Guarendi, thank you for being with us.
I don't know if I like this, Cy.
What?
Well, okay, you're talking about weird.
Yeah.
And then you have me as a guest.
Yes.
And then I'm Jimmy Akin's lead-in act.
Okay? Oh, yeah.
He's the main star here, and I get the Frisbees and the beach balls gone.
Yeah, that's true. We don't think of the first hour as the opening act. The first hour is our meat and potatoes. The second hour, that's also our meat and potatoes. We're a 2-hour show. What am I going to say? But we don't think of the first hour as the lead in by any means.
I got a call.
Yeah.
This was probably 10 years ago now. It was Jimmy. I'm not making this up. This is true. And Jimmy said, "Ray, I got a question for you." And I said, wait. I said, I want to get this recorded.
Yeah, I know.
Jimmy is calling me and saying, Ray, I got a question for you. So just let you know our relationship here, Cy.
I guess we could say you are the mentor, really. You're the mentor of Jimmy.
You can't say mentor. No. Linguistically insensitive. Personter.
Oh,
mentor has a very, very patriarchal, toxic masculinity.
You're right. I got very gender specific there for a minute.
Yes,
I'm sorry. I should have been.
Be a little more sensitive here, Cy.
I will try to be more fluid in my use of gender, gender norming. Or I'm just throwing out words now. I don't even know what these mean. 888-318-7884 is the number if you've always dreamed of talking with Dr. Ray but couldn't get through on his show. Today's the day for you. And if you have some questions about maintaining peace in the family or maybe even more difficult finding peace in the family, peace that may have been lost along the way, 888-318-7884 again is the number. So I imagine because you're the father of 10. And is that right? 10? Did I get it right?
10? Yeah, but we don't let them in the house during Easter.
Oh, that's what.
Not during Christmas because you got all the decorations up.
Okay.
You know.
All right. I just wanted to make sure. So you I'm sure you have no problems in your family. You are, of course, Dr. Ray Guarendi, famous radio personality. So there would be no struggles. But for those of us who are lesser beings, can you help us with what happens at the holidays and what goes on and why sometimes they don't feel like holidays? They feel more like a battle.
Well, so I want to just tell you, people ask me, how do you do it? How do you raise 10 children? And I found as the kids got older, a very important thing, I didn't do this when they were younger, I should have, but as they got older, you have to get a good parole officer. You know, if you get a good parole officer, somebody that sticks with the family, you know, during the whole time, knows the kids by name, all of that, that's important. That's really important.
I'm glad that, okay, so I had not thought of that because we, you know, this is something as parents, we didn't pay much attention to about who was serving as parole officer for each of our children. But
that's why I'm the professional and you are the rank amateur.
That's right. Exactly. Well, most people don't even attach the word rank. They feel like that modifier adds too much to it.
But it adds to the smell. Huh?
It adds to the prestige of the thing.
I have decided, Cy, now see if you like my math on this.
All right.
I think that at the holidays, I am 99.999999% loving. And let me explain how that is. I have nothing against all the people in China. And the folks in India do not irritate me. Japan, throw them in there. All of South America has never offended me.
You're saintly. You've made it.
That's right. If you take the world's population.
Yeah.
Well, there's really only a handful, like five, that bug me, and they just happen to be coming to my house.
Oh, that is what bad luck! If only you could have the entire population of China over, you'd be fine.
Yeah, I'd be fine, I would be holy. That's right. Now, here's the problem. You know the number one thing I think that people lose their peace over on the holidays.
What's that?
They get offended.
Okay. All right.
Grandma says something.
Yeah.
My mother says something. My father, he's talking politics and he insults me. And so they call it hurt. Okay. A lot of people say, I was hurt.
Right.
And I kind of say, okay, wait a minute. If you want to be a follower of Christ, I mean, a serious one, a disciple, then you're giving up your right to be offended. No matter what people say, no matter how they say it, you may not like it. It may be mean, but for you to personally take offense is saying, I don't deserve that.
Right.
Why don't they recognize what I'm like? That's unfair. You see what happens, Cy?
Yes, right. You don't see a lot of that in Jesus or the apostles.
Well, Jesus would be the one guy who could say, I have done nothing legitimately to offend anybody.
Yeah, right.
He sure got his share of it.
Yes. All right. So you're kind of calling us to a kind of very adult version of Christianity. However, you know, I think a lot of us, and I include myself in this, I guess the thing we're supposed to say now is like the reptile brain, and it just responds. And you're saying, look, stop all the therapeutic talk. You buck up. You're a Christian. Stop being offended.
The reptile brain is controlled by the human brain, by the cerebral cortex, okay?
All right, yeah.
I'm not a victim of my reptile brain. Yes, I may react. I may surge. Okay, let's say my mother-in-law says something. She's coming over, and I'm dreading this because I know she's going to fire off stuff about my child rearing, about my religion, about my marriage, about my house, whatever it is. I've never been good enough. Here we go again. How can I endure her for 3 straight hours? So my brain, my little lower part, says, oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy, I'm just going to react. I know I'm going to react. It's going to be surge. Oh, it's going to be so hard. Your upper brain's got to say, wait a minute, what is she doing? She's saying stupid things. She's saying opinionated, critiquing things. Okay, big deal. Okay, Cy, I've got a technique here.
Okay.
I want to share with you. Now, this is a technique, by the way. I don't want you to do this at home because you could hurt yourself.
All right.
Okay?
Yep.
But because of my years of high, high intensity training, I can do this.
Okay.
I was a kid. I'd come home. I'd be 9 or 10. Come home from school. I'm all excited. My mom made a cake. And she saved a piece for me, saved a piece for my sister. I walk in the house. Both pieces are gone. I said to my sister, Marianne, where's my cake? I don't know. you have icing on your face. Where is my cake? I said, I don't know. You ate it. So? Mom said it was mine. So? I'm telling her. So? My sister gave me a Christian response. I learned a lesson from my sister. That is, so, let's say that your aunt, the persnickety, difficult, critical, prickly aunt, says something. Oh, well, I see you have your little statue, your idolatry statue of Mary sitting right out there, don't you?
Oh, yeah, right.
You know what your response has got to be in your head? You don't have to say it out loud. You know what it's got to be in your head?
What?
What my sister said.
So?
So? Yeah, yeah, so? See, you, to get upset, you know, people will say, I get a lot of calls on the radio, and they'll say, she just hurt me. She hurt me so bad. And I'll say, well, I'm sure she said nasty, mean things. Okay, I'm not going to debate that. But for you to be hurt, you really have to say, she shouldn't have done that. That was wrong. I'm not like that. I don't deserve it. You know what? Okay, Si, you know what we call that underneath it all?
What?
Pride.
Oh.
There's an inverse relationship.
She hurt my pride is what we mean.
She hurt my pride.
Yeah.
I'm a good person. I'm a wonderful person. Why doesn't she recognize that?
Right.
There's an inverse relationship. The easier I am offended does not mean I'm a soft-hearted individual. It means I'm a prideful individual.
Wow. So
that's gonna get some of your listeners mad.
Well, the thing is, it's I have to say, when you talk like that, it's a little bit bracing because we don't hear that kind of talk from people, especially people with a PhD after their name. We hear a lot about everything but the gospel, and the gospel call for you to, you know, like turn the other cheek. Yeah, but that's, turn the other cheek. Yeah, except for every instance in which at my own personal actual cheek is involved. You know,
is, I can turn the other cheek as long as they insult you.
Yeah, right, right.
I'm good at that.
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
so
here's. Go ahead.
No, I think it's bracing. I don't know if you. I don't know that it's. Well, maybe it does make people angry to hear that. You know, you say these things all the time, and then you take calls from people, but
and they get angry at me.
But it's definitely different.
Well, it shouldn't be. Why? Think about this. We as Christians don't want to just carry the name. We want to be disciples. We don't want to be just Christians. We want to be disciples.
Right.
Now, a disciple of Christ is, what did our Lord say? Don't expect it. You are just worthless servants. Whoa! What the heck? Didn't he have psychology 101?
Yeah.
What is wrong with him? Doesn't he realize how important self-image is?
Yeah, he's really hurting my self-esteem with that.
Yes, he is.
Yes.
So the aspect of this whole thing, Si, is I have to say to my – there's two questions I got to ask myself when somebody comes over for the holidays and I'm nervous about it and I'm afraid of what they're going to say and I don't want to hear what they're going to say because I don't trust me the way I respond back. There's two things I got to say.
What? Okay.
The first one is most important. Is it true? That's the most important question we have to ask. Is it true?
Right.
And we have to get past our defensiveness. We have to get past our self-protection. We have to get past our pride to really analyze that question. You know, somebody will say to me on the radio, they go, you know, you can be sarcastic. My first response is, no. I'm not sarcastic. I'm teasing them.
Yeah.
I'm teasing them. I'm not sorry. Why do they say that?
Right.
That's my first response. But if I think about it, I have to say, I wonder if there is times when I do that, when I slip into being sarcastic, not meaning it, but it could come across that way. And I got to look at that. So that's the first question. The second question is very simple. Why am I getting so upset? The answer you get to that question, why am I getting so upset? Well, because that's all she does. She makes comments like that all the time. You know, I could tolerate one or two.
Yeah.
But it's like a Rolodex, okay? She's just going to start again. Well, okay, then here is the response to that. If she's done this all the time you've ever known her, why are you so surprised she did it again?
Yeah, right, right. So then I... I actually want to ask you a question, but I have to go to a break. But the first question is this true? Now, you mentioned that sometimes it is true. Maybe you are a bit sarcastic.
Yeah.
It's helpful. But what about when it's really not true? As I said, I got to go to the break, and I want to ask you when we get back. And then what's the other reason? If I say to myself, why am I getting so upset? And then I say, well, she does this every time. And then how do I get out of that then? How do I get out of the she gets me every time. Even when I try to say I'm not going to, she gets me every time. Dr. Ray Guarendi.
Hey,
yes?
Ask Jimmy. He's coming up next hour. Ask him.
He knows everything. Dr. Ray Guarendi's latest book is Thinking Like Jesus, The Psychology of a Faithful Disciple. You are welcome to call if you have any questions about peace in the family and helping the family towards peace or maintaining a peace or restoring peace in your family. 888-318-7884. 888-318-7884.
Hello, this is Archbishop Alexander Sample of the Archdiocese of Portland in Oregon. Keep that dial right here on Catholic Answers Live.
Do you love praying for people? Have you ever wanted to use your gift of prayer to share Jesus with others and build up the body of Christ? Start a public prayer station with St. Paul Street Evangelization. Listen to people's needs, pray with them, or invite them to meet you at church. St. Paul Street Evangelization can help you get started. Find out how at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Listeners to Catholic Radio, I think, benefit most, at least initially, from what I call remedial catechesis. What Catholic Radio does is it becomes an echo chamber for the teaching authority of the Catholic Church. And what we're doing is teaching many things which have been neglected over the last 40, 50 years. If you listen to Catholic Radio, you know what the Catholic Church teaches.
Al Cresta thinks Catholic Radio is important. So should you.
Spring sale is still going on over here at Catholic Answers. If you go to shop.catholic.com and find some books, maybe by Jimmy Akin or Don Eden's wonderful new book, Sunday Will Never Be the Same, or Trent Horn, he's got Counterfeit Christ coming out. Whatever, there's a whole bunch of, you know, all the stuff that we've got over there at Catholic, shop.catholic.com. It's 15% off if you put in the promo code SPRING19 when you check out. SPRING19 at shop.catholic.com gets you 15% off your whole order right now. Our guest this hour is Dr. Ray Guarendi. His latest book is Thinking Like Jesus, The Psychology of a Faithful Disciple. And we're talking about, would it be fair to say your approach, it strikes me, is a gospel-based approach to being a mature Christian, and that being the foundation of peace in the home?
There's an irony here, Cy.
Mm-hmm.
Many good therapists who are not religious, they're not of any particular spiritual bent, they would say the exact same thing that I'm saying. They would say that when somebody says something to you that you take offense by almost immediately, you really have to analyze your own thoughts. What are you telling yourself that is getting you so upset? I may not like that somebody attacks my faith. I mean, who says I have to like it? But for me to have it ruin the rest of my day, or to stew about it and wonder if I should fire off an email in response, now I got to ask myself, Ray, what's going on inside you that you are just getting so irritated about this? What are you telling yourself, not only about them, but about you?
Yeah.
You know, if I think I'm a holy guy, what right did they have to imply that I'm not in every way holy?
Yeah. Okay. So recently we had Pope Francis. He said that it's okay to be angry with Jesus. And there are a lot of people who I would consider very maybe traditionally faithful Catholics were quite offended by that, that the Pope said that. And I feel like there's a little bit of hypersensitivity there, like that holiness is supposed to somehow mean no real emotions.
In the Thinking Like Jesus book, that's one of the exact things I dealt with, you know, being angry at God.
Uh-huh.
I think it depends, Cy, on what you mean by being angry. For example, a large part of anger for most people is, you had no right to do that.
Oh, I see.
You were so wrong in doing that. Okay? It's very right-filled anger. And that's wrong. I personally believe that's a very wrong kind of anger. If you say, Jesus, I'm really frustrated because I don't understand.
Yeah.
I don't get it. This perplexes me. I'll share with you, I think personally it's risky to get angry at God, and here's why. When I was in college, the first year I was in engineering, and I took physics and math, calculus. And the only thing I remember, Cy, is that you have to have as many equations as you have variables. You can't solve the problem if you only know three of the variables. The problem may have 27 variables. If you only know three, you're going to get the problem wrong. That's a given, okay?
Yep.
When something happens in our lives to us or to someone we love, we know 3, 5, 6, 8 of the variables. God knows all of the variables.
Right.
So my interpretation of this event, to me, is just, I don't get it. I do not get it. How could this happen? How could he do this? I've been praying and praying and praying. This is a good person. How could a good person befall this?
Right.
Well, God goes, Ray, you don't know a fraction of the variables that I do. I'll share with you a story, Cy, that my son was born with a cleft lip and palate. And as a result, he needed multiple surgeries. Long about age 2, he was going into a third surgery. They had to get blood. Now, you know, Cy, you got little kids. Little baby, you can't find a vein. You know, it's hard to find a vein in a little kid.
Yeah.
They don't exactly pop out. So the phlebotomist was attempting to find the vein, and Andrew was just screaming. The kid was terrified. He was screaming. He was torquing. She was having all kinds of trouble holding him down. I said to her, let me hold him down for you. You find the vein. So I pinned my son down. He looked at me with this look that said, I don't believe this. Dad, what are you doing?
Right.
You're letting these people hurt me. And I remember thinking, Andrew, if you only knew what I knew, you wouldn't be mad at me.
Yeah.
And I wonder how many times God says, hey, Ray, if you only knew what I knew, you wouldn't be upset.
All right.
So for me, that makes it a lot harder for me to get angry at God.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, you've developed a trust there that his relationship is a relationship of a father to you, and that it is not happening for no reason at all.
Well, let me tie this to something you and I talked about earlier, Cy. Remember how I said, if you get offended easily, you got to look at your own pride?
Yes, right.
Okay. Have you noticed when people get most angry at God, it's when something bad happens to them or their close circle? I can look all around me. When that tsunami in India killed 100,000 people,
right.
I can say to myself, oh, my gosh. Oh, boy, well, that's terrible. That's awful. I wonder why God lets that happen. But I didn't get angry at him.
Right, yeah.
But let something happen to me or one of my children. You know, I was diagnosed with cancer a couple years ago. Fortunately, they got it early. So am I going to go, oh, my gosh, I can't believe this, and get more angry at my diagnosis of cancer than 100,000 people dying. See?
Yep.
I'm most likely to get angry at God when it's about me.
Dr. Ray Guarendi is our guest. His latest book is Thinking Like Jesus, The Psychology of a Faithful Disciple. Dr. Ray, there are a lot of people who have serious questions for you, and I have not allowed them through yet. You become kind of engaging to me. I don't know if you have the power of hypnosis or what, but I...
Ty, you know what it is?
What?
Well, the people there told me, Chris Check told me, keep Cy on as long as you can. Do as much therapy as you can.
Help this poor man. Okay, fair enough. But if you're on the line, don't go anywhere. I'm going to go straight to calls with Dr. Ray Guarendi when we get back. 888-318-7884 is the number. 888-318-7884.
Catholic Answers Live. We're here for you. Love and beauty. As a little girl, Dawn Eden Goldstein knew that she wanted those things, that in them somehow she would find God. Over the years as a rock journalist, she moved among some of popular music's best-known artists, straining to capture that transcendent love and beauty in every note and lyric. In Sunday Will Never Be the Same, Dawn recounts her spiritual journey in beautifully wrought detail, mixing powerful accounts of trauma, healing, and epiphany with funny anecdotes from inside the music scene. It is the rare conversion story that delights as it inspires, amuses as it edifies, and ultimately lays before the reader a lived testimony to the transforming grace of Christ. Order your copy of Sunday Will Never Be the Same by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" Turns out that today, as back then, this question has a lot of different answers. So many groups want to appropriate Jesus, tweaking his identity until he looks and sounds just like one of them. But then you no longer have the Lord, says apologist Trent Horn. You have an imposter. In his new groundbreaking book, Counterfeit Christ, Trent exposes 18 phony versions of Jesus that we encounter today, helping you to recognize the fakes when you see them, explain why they're phony, and make a case for the full truth and beauty of who Jesus is, the Christ, the Son of the living God. Order your copy of Counterfeit Christ today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Looking for an on-fire Catholic speaker for your event? Catholic Answers speakers will inform and inspire your audience to grow in their Catholic faith. For more information on booking a Catholic Answers speaker, visit CatholicAnswersSpeakers.com today.
It's Holy Week. What parish traditions do you take part in?
We want to hear about it on Monday's Take Two with Jerry and Debbie.
Now back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Dr. Ray Guarendi of EWTN fame. The doctor is in. Maybe he's even come to your town and you've heard him speak. I often hear people say, I got to hear Dr. Ray speak, and they usually say it in admiring terms. He says he'll take any question you've got today at 888-318-7884, so long as it's a true or false question. Anything more complicated than that, he would rather not take. 888-318-7884. Also, if you want to get the book Thinking Like Jesus, The Psychology of a Faithful Disciple, a signed copy, the best place to do that is just go to drray.com. Drray.com. Don't put I didn't even check this. Is Dr. spelled out or just Dr. Ray?
DRRAY.com.
DRRAY. Yeah. So don't put a period in there after doctor. Just go to drray.com and you can get your copy, a signed copy of Thinking Like Jesus, The Psychology of a Faithful Disciple. We go now to Glenda. I don't have a location for you, Glenda, but I'm glad you're here. Your question for Dr. Ray.
Yes. Hi. Thank you, Cy. Dr. Ray, I live in Dunedin, Florida, and my daughter lives hours away. She was diagnosed with cancer a couple years ago, had surgeries. I used to go to all her chemotherapy with her, but this past year, I've not been able to. I take care of my mom now, so I'm pretty grounded here. So we've resorted in social media. Facebook, to be exact. And lately, I do not have any soothing conversations with her. Everything is derogatory towards me, but other people make comments, and she's very compassionate and soothing and understanding. But when I try to console her, like she's having a rough day with her cancer, she blasts me on the social media, and she's very negative and angry with me. And I don't know how to do that. It's beating me down.
Two things there. If she was fine up to this last year when you couldn't get there as much as you used to, I would have to wonder if somehow she's taken that personal, that you just don't love her enough to prioritize her. That's the first thing. Second thing is I wouldn't put myself on Facebook anymore. If she's going to do that, if that is the routine response that you get, why put yourself there? Maybe send her emails, that kind of thing. Third, ask her, not on Facebook, definitely not on Facebook, ask her through the phone or through email, what did I do to upset you? Please tell me, I want to know. And if she dodges it, if she beats around the bush, if she says something like, well, Mom, you know, you always do that. You act like you don't know, but you know. Whatever she does like that, she is telling you, I don't want to tell you because I'm mad at you and I don't want to straighten it up and you have treated me in a way that I've taken offense to. Now, if you can look at yourself, Glenda, and say, I honestly am scrutinizing me and I didn't do anything to offend her, then it is her problem. And sadly, your daughter, whether it's the stress of the cancer battle, whatever it is, whether she's a bit spoiled, I don't know, but she's decided not to give you any leeway. Don't beat yourself up over that, please. Please, don't put yourself at the mercy of someone who decides they're going to be irritable and maybe even mean-spirited.
Okay.
I know it's
all
hard,
right, but,
if you didn't do anything wrong.
It is very hard.
But here's the thing. Here's the only option you have. You can continue to be very upset and hurt, but you can't stop what she says and does. So if it's based upon some kind of irrational reaction to you neglecting her and putting your mother first, well, short of just dropping what you're doing with your mother and getting out there, she's going to continue to interpret it negatively, and there isn't a whole lot you can do about it. And the sad thing of it is, it's like cyanide talked at the top of the show. By the way, cyanide sounds like a poison, doesn't it? Like we talked at the top of the show, you can't stop other people from what they say and do. And it's usually your family that has the most power to do that.
Right.
Bless you, dear. Bless you.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Ray.
Okay, hi.
Thank you, Glenda. Again, our number 888-318-7884. Dr. Ray Guarendi, our guest today. We go now to Richard, listening on 85.7 FM, but I'm not sure where, Richard. Where are you located, Richard?
I'll rather be anonymous.
Oh, I got you. Oh, fair. That's why I don't know. I apologize, Richard. I don't usually have high-powered guests like Ray here who probably is used to anonymous callers, but you're welcome to ask your question. Go ahead, Ray. Excuse me, Richard.
I found out a month ago my wife had an affair with me, and we're trying to work through it, but there's sometimes when I feel like really bad anger or almost hate towards her, and like I want her to suffer, and I want to cause her pain like she caused me, but I know that's not the Catholic thing to do, but I'm really, really struggling with anger towards the affair, and really, really struggling with the rage and there. I don't want to say hate, but I'm just struggling because I don't want to have anger towards her, and I feel like she has to pay and she needs to suffer what she did, and I don't want to have those thoughts or feelings.
Well, Richard, I'll tell you, if you pursue that course, if you say she did this egregious wrong to me. Now, there's a lot of to me in this. You know that, okay? You're not looking at this like, boy, she did something morally wrong in God's eyes as much as you're looking at it like, how could she do this to me? Okay, so that's fueling you. But if you want to make her pay a price, you can do that and you'll lose your marriage. Do you want to lose your marriage more than you want her to make a pay a price?
I don't think so, but at times yes, and times most of the times no. I want a marriage, but sometimes I'm like, well,
Richard, you can't forgive her. You can't forgive her because she did this to you. You know that. You're looking at it like, I would never do that to her. That was so disrespectful. That was so hurtful. It was so offensive. I didn't deserve that. So that's where much of your anger is coming from. It's personalizing it. If your wife did this, then she did it out of her own moral weakness. She did it out of whatever was driving her to do this, whatever circumstances crossed her path. Okay, she did that. That was the main reason she did it. She didn't do it to deliberately hurt you. I doubt that. You have kids?
Yes.
Well, if you make her pay, Richard, and that marriage breaks up, you better count on just being a part-time father, buddy. Actually, you may not even be a part-time father. You may just get visitation on the weekends. And then if she marries some other guy or gets together with some other guy and says, I want you to call him daddy, you can't do anything about that. And then if, in fact, those kids at age 14 say, nah, I don't want to go visit dad. He doesn't let us have a cell phone. I can't believe he won't let me have that computer game. I'm staying with mom. See you, dad. You see, Richard, all that is on your horizon. So you have much reason to persevere in this marriage. And you need to just keep telling yourself, she doesn't have to pay. My feelings of anger, I can hold them, but I'm not going to act on them. I'm not going to say things that are hurtful. I got to tell you, my friend, I've seen a lot of situations in marriage counseling where the hurt partner wants to make the other person pay. Okay? They want to even the score. And what happens much of the time is that the offending partner, the person who had the adulterous relationship, gets sick of it. They finally say, how long are you going to make me keep paying? When are we going to move on? And then they develop bitter feelings. So you got to be real careful there, buddy.
All right.
Okay, man.
Richard, thank you very, very, very much for that call. 888-318-7884 is the number. Thinking Like Jesus, The Psychology of a Faithful Disciple is the latest book from Dr. Ray Guarendi, our guest. Man, Dr. Ray, that's a that's a really tough situation, but it's striking to me. I'm listening to you talking with Richard, who has really every right to be mad.
No, correct your side.
Okay.
He doesn't have a right to be mad.
Okay.
Having a right to be mad implies that should never have happened to me.
Okay.
Says who? That's like saying nobody should ever wrong me.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, we have to be careful about saying I have a right to be mad. We can say I am mad and I'm letting myself get angry and I'm clinging to it. Yeah, we can say that.
Okay.
But to say I have a right implies only God has a right to be offended.
And he doesn't. That's a problem.
Who does he think he is? God?
Yeah. No. Yeah. Right. God. Yeah. That's one of the hard things about Good Friday. I mean, the one guy who has a right to be mad on Good Friday is the one guy who won't be.
He wasn't. Yeah. I know. if that is our teacher.
Yeah.
Then we got to say, okay, I'm going to do everything I can to follow my teacher, even though my emotions are pulling me the exact opposite direction. You know, Richard, he's mad. He's really mad.
Yeah.
And he's mad at her.
Right.
Okay. Now, if Richard were in therapy with me, one of the things I would say, rather than focusing totally on her, I would say, okay, Richard, let's look at you. What is it about you in this marriage that somehow gave your wife justification to do this? Is there anything? Are you the perfect guy?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and who can say that? I mean, my wife has to carry that burden of being married to a perfect guy, but most...
And that's tough. I know that's tough. She's called me many times.
Yeah, but really, seriously, it's very hard to hear somebody saying, take up your cross, like Jesus took up his cross. I find that very uncomfortable.
Okay, yeah. Then let me help you.
Okay, help me.
There's only one thing harder. Continue to react and interpret like you always have.
Yeah.
That's harder. Because that'll create pain, that'll create bitterness, that'll pull you from God. But Dr. Ray, it's just so hard to learn to hold my feelings and conquer my feelings and think better and think healthier and think with more peace. Yes, it is. It's the hardest thing you will do. There's only one thing harder. Stay the way you are.
Dr. Ray Guarendi is our guest. More of your calls for Dr. Ray right after this.
This is Archbishop J. Michael Miller of Vancouver, Canada, and you're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Catholic Answers Live is proudly supported by CatholicChemistry.com, a new dating site for Catholics who want to do dating right and believe relationships start with Catholic chemistry. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicChemistry.com for their generous support on the web at CatholicChemistry.com.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
The prayers of the elderly are powerful. Why? Because you learn in old age to depend upon God. There's no one else. Because you are still made to the image and likeness of God, no matter how old you are. You're valuable to God. Don't let anybody tell you you're not.
For more information on Mother Angelica, visit Religious Catalog at EWTNRC.com.
Welcome back. Dr. Ray Guarendi, our guest. He's got those three big letters after his name, PhD, but man, he's still preaching Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And we're happy to have him here to do that. Francis is next in Cleveland, Ohio. Francis, your question for Dr. Ray Guarendi.
Yes, I went through my grandchildren to help raise my grandchildren. My daughter lived with me, but she had depression. They separated, divorced, and of course the other grandmother was very upset. She was kind of a controller. She wanted to run everything, and you know, and the kids, you know, they're torn between two problems and two grandmas, and it was really hard. Even this day, it's I mean, I got great grandchildren now, you know, so, but you know, they kind of buck up against you. Kids, you still rebel. Things that happen to them when they were teenagers, especially the boys, they don't. The girls are kind of forgiving, but the boys kind of, you know, kind of get mad.
Francis, what are you struggling with there? Francis, what are you struggling with?
Oh, with my kids. I mean, he don't want to talk to his mother no more, and she was here, raised him, but his other grandma kind of controls. She has to be in the limelight, you know.
So you have a grandson like that doesn't want to talk with you, Francis?
It doesn't want to talk to my daughter.
Oh, okay.
He talks little to me, but not
all right.
Much.
Well, let's let Dr. Ray
and
give
I
you an answer.
Since they were
right. Francis, hang on. Let's let Dr. Ray address you.
Cy, one of the main ways that we create distress for ourselves is that we want other people to act differently. I want this grandson to talk to his mother. He shouldn't be doing this.
Yeah.
I don't want these kids to be rebellious. They should be grateful. So what happens is that we demand that other people act differently. One of the most common questions I get, Cy, by far in therapy, anywhere, tell me how to make another person be different.
Yeah.
And that, I can tell you, that is a source of endless irritation, sadness, unpleasantness, hurt in our lives because we haven't accepted the reality. If I say to you, Cy, hey, you know, Cy, the sky's green. And you say, Ray, no offense, buddy, but it's blue. No, Si. I believe it's green. And you say, well, you can believe what you want, but it is blue. It's the same thing with demanding other people behave the way we want. If I say to you, Si, you're wrong in wanting other people to behave the way you want them to behave. Well, no, I'm not. No, I don't. The sky's green. No, it's blue. And we just don't accept that kind of truth in our lives. We live our whole lives getting upset at great degree over and over and over and over and over again because someone is not acting the way we think they should or that is right.
Okay, so in Francis's case, you're wanting something from your grandson. It's not in your control, I think, is what Dr. Ray is saying. Is that can you accept that, Francis?
I just want to respect. But I guess you can't today. People are different. You have to take them and love them as God would love them, and no matter if they respect you or not. You know.
That's right, dear. You hit it right on.
Francis, thank you very, very much for that call. I hope that was helpful. Let's go to Ann in Virginia, listening to EWTN Satellite Radio, Channel 130 on Sirius Satellite Radio. Ann, your question for Dr. Ray Guarendi.
Yeah, hi. Hi, Si. Hi, Dr. Ray.
Hi, Ann.
How do I cope with a situation? Well, you know, my mother said to me a couple of things. You know, if I had to do over again, you would never have been born. This was said in front of my brother and I, and I was the oldest, and my brother's younger than me, and she said in front of both of us. I'm like, oh, does that mean just me or me and him both? And then on another occasion, you know, I wish I'd never birthed you. I'd like to kill you, you know, like that. How do I cope with that?
Well, the first thing you're thinking is that a mother shouldn't say that. That's not a loving mother, right? How can a mother say that? I mean, that's really down there in your mind. That's what you're thinking, okay? Well, sadly, tragically, you have a mother who said that, okay? The second thing you're thinking is, well, how can she not love me? I mean, I'm a good person. I'm a good daughter. I've never given her any trouble. I'm not on drugs. So how can she possibly think like this? You're thinking that too. What you're probably not thinking is that my mother sounds like an awful hurting lady. My mother must be one sad and miserable person to say these kinds of things, to think this stuff, to blame us for her misery. Are you thinking that there, Ann?
Yes, pretty much.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, that's good. That's a good first step because that'll help you. That'll help you feel a little softer toward her with the kind of nonsense that she said, you know. But if you cling to the idea that a good mother, a loving mother, should never say anything like that, which is true, by the way, but she did. She did. The sky is blue. It's not green.
Yeah.
She did. And for you to say, oh, my gosh, what do you do when somebody says something like that to you? You interpret it in a way that calms you down and doesn't keep you so hurt for so long. You can't flip a switch, Ann, and all of a sudden say, okay, it doesn't bother me. I'm fine. You can't do that. Nobody can do that. But you work on it so that a month from now, 2 months from now, you're not in the same state of hurt and misery that you were when you first heard it.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, Ann?
All right. Very good. Thank you.
All right. God bless
you.
Thank you very, very much for that call. Again, Dr. Ray Guarendi, our guest this hour. Next hour, Jimmy Akin will be here for Weird Questions with Jimmy Akin. That is not a... Please do not take that personally, that the weird questions thing comes the same day you're here, Dr. Ray. It's not directed at you.
I'm a psychologist. I'm trained in noticing these connections, you know?
Yeah, right.
I think you're in denial, Si, and there's a bit of deception thrown in. Nevertheless, I'm not going to be offended by it.
Oh, well, aren't you just the most loving soul? Thank you very much.
Tell you what, that's humility that's just overwhelming, ain't it?
It is overwhelming, yes. Well, at least it's at least whelming. I don't know if it's overwhelming, but it's at least whelming. Joshua in Broussard, Louisiana, named after our own friend Carlo Broussard, I think. You are up next. Joshua, your question for Dr. Ray Guarendi.
Thank you for taking my call today. I have a five-year-old who doesn't pay attention in mass, who lays on the pew while we're kneeling down, is just sitting on the ground. How do I get her not only to show respect for the consecration that's going on, but to show respect in general to adults and what's going on in mass?
Okay. Well, you don't get her to experience respect. That's not going to happen. She's 5 years old, okay? She doesn't understand what's going on. What you're going to do is you're going to set up the behavior. For example, you're going to tell your little girl, you know what, sweetheart? Now, Daddy wants you just to sit on the pew or to look toward the front. You know, you're not going to demand that she has to follow everything. She can't. She's five. But you're going to demand that she's not disruptive and that she does respond when you give her a slight correction. If she doesn't, you tell her, you know what, sweetheart? When we get home, you're going to stand in the corner. And then you're going to lose your stuffed animal, too. Now, someone would say, oh, way to go, Ray. You're punishing a kid. You're punishing a kid for going to mass. No, you're not doing that. You're basically saying, here is a level of behavior that you're capable of as a five-year-old. I don't expect you to follow what's going on. But I do expect you not to be disruptive and be oriented somewhat toward the front. Okay. If you're not, I'm going to enforce it. Because here's what happens, Joshua. As she's able to just distract herself and go all over the place, she isn't really learning any self-control at mass. And if you say, well, she'll get better when she's 7, she'll get better when she's 9, she'll get better when she's 11, she might. She might. In the meantime, she's kind of being allowed to develop some habits that could stick around. So I know when we had our 10 kids, at one point they were all under 12, and we go to mass. And they knew, you're disruptive in mass, we're gonna deal with you when we get home. And the other thing that happened in mass, one lady, this is true, I'm not making this up. Recently, my kids are grown now, and recently one of our parishioners came up to my wife and said, I owe you an apology. When I used to see your children at mass, sitting there, not creating much disruption, I really thought you drugged them. I said, what makes you think I didn't? All right, Joshua. Well, good luck, everybody.
Thank you, Joshua. Thank you so much for that call. Again, Dr. Ray Guarendi, our guest, and I will remind you that Dr. Ray's latest book, Thinking Like Jesus, the Psychology of a Faithful Disciple, is available at Dr. Ray's website, drray.com. And there is that is the best place to get a signed copy. If you're looking for a signed copy of that book, go to drray.com. I don't know. I hear an awful lot of I guess let me put it this way. I'm going to put this as very, very positively. I often think when Jesus says, take up your cross each day and follow me, that's a very negative thing. But he's actually trying to liberate us. Well, that's the sense I get from the way you call on people to take up their cross, that you actually expect that to be liberating for them.
And here's the irony to that. Think about this, Si. Take up your cross. Is anybody punching me in the head? Is anybody hurting one of my children physically? Is my house burning down? Am I ill? No. All of this taking up my cross is words. I'm getting all upset over words.
Ah,
what we tend to do?
Right, right. Just let it go. Dr. Ray Guarendi has been our guest. Thank you very much, Dr. Ray. It is always a wild and just lovely hour to have you here. Thank you very, very much.
You know what you did?
What'd I do?
I was waxing my car, I was clay barring my car, and I was wiping off my spouting, and then I had to come in and do the interview.
Oh, so I messed up your... Well, get back out there and finish the car so you don't get in trouble with your wife. Hang around for the second hour. Jimmy Akin will be here. We're taking weird questions with Jimmy Akin. That's always a fun hour to close out the working week. We'll see you then in a few minutes, God willing, on Catholic Answers Live.